You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year. We're back again. It's episode 254 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle and Ben. Golf is back. We're back. And the year is finally kicked off, and we are ready to talk a full year of this new season that starts this year and ends this year, which is really cool. So
yeah,
ready to break down the first tournament, have some fun. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Ben, can you imagine the live line you could have got on Jon Rahm after the first hole today? I mean, listen, there's nothing against
Bet Online, but I really wanted to follow those two gentlemen that were betting every hole that Spieth was hitting, that he had to address that just to see what they were betting on. I really wish Hot Mics would have picked that up.
Oh, that'd be great. You could do it.
Yeah, the live line today, not just the live line on Jon Rahm, the live line on Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, I mean, you could do live betting on golf, basketball, any sport. Not only live lines, just regular lines. Everything you can dream of to bet on, you got it. Use coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. Get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Stack it up, and let's go win some money. So BetOnline is where the game starts. So Ben's favorite tournament, the Century Tournament of Champions, yes, with the Dolphin Trophy, I guess. I don't really know what the trophy is, but Ben said it was the Dolphin Trophy.
It's the Kissing Dolphins.
Okay, yeah, cool trophy. was going to be a snoozer. It was pretty much going to be a snoozer, and it ended up like watching a train wreck, and you couldn't take your eyes away from it. Colin Morikawa goes into the day with a 7-shot lead, and it got as big as a 9-shot lead.
Yes,
after the first holes, each of them playing the first holes, because he birdied the first hole, Rahm bogeyed the first hole. Jon Rahm shoots 62, 10 under to come back and win. Colin shot 1 under, and had sort of a little bit of a meltdown of sorts, right around the middle of the course, and, just never could get it back. And, it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch, but you couldn't look away.
I even texted Kyle that at one point in time. I said, this is hard for me to watch, because Colin is by far one of my favorite golfers.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, I've never hidden it. I mean, I love that stat that we always throw out there, that he hits his 6-iron closer to the pin than most pros hit their wedge, and blah, blah, blah. And this time he had – the putter was working this time. And the putter was working up until 15 today. I mean, even he said – I don't know if you got to watch any of his post-round comments, and he said, no, he said, the putts I missed, like, on 10 and on 12, and he said, the only real bad green I had today was the 3-putt on 5. He said, other than that, he said, I was putting the ball where I wanted to. They just were not falling. And then I did find it telling, and I told you, because I said, oh, he's choking, and then Kyle responds, he goes, well, Rahm's also winning it, and I was like, probably both. That's exactly what Colin said, though.
Yeah, I changed my mind. It was a joke. At the time he was 5 under, and Rahm was like 9 under, and then he bogeyed 2 or 3 in a row. Then it was like, okay, well, it was chunking chips, which is,
yeah,
they were really honing in on this bowed wrist thing. He has a great wrist bowage.
Azinger has preached that the entire tournament,
but it's not a good chipping thing
from day one. But the thing is I'm like, well, he didn't just start that. Why are y'all bringing this up now? Just because he's stuck it in the ground a couple of times?
Maybe I've never noticed Colin
a bad weekend chipping. Maybe that's it.
I've never really noticed Colin not being a great, like, having issues getting up and like being a short game either.
No,
and something's up with him, though, man.
He's got the confidence, though, because even on 15, that one that he sculled over the green, that's when I started texting you about. He said in his post-round press conference, he goes, if I'm going to miss, I want to miss in that bunker. I really feel I can get up and down from that bunker. Like, he had all the confidence in the world, and then he got in it, and he hit it 15 yards over the green. And so, you know, that was one – and he said that was – he literally said that was a turning point. He said, up until that point, he said, my miss on 12 – I hit a good putt. It just didn't fall. He said, there was another miss, I think, on 10, hit a good putt, it just didn't fall. He said, but when I got to 15 and I looked at the scoreboard and I was only one ahead, and then I sculled it over the green, and then when I missed my par putt, I looked back up and I'm now losing the tournament. That broke him down. Like, that, clearly that's when he started choking. He admitted, like, he immediately, he was a turtle inside of his shell at that point.
Yeah. It was tough to watch. Rom, on the other hand, was just going eight, you know what, hitting bombs, making putts, just birdieing everything he looked at. And that's with bogey in the first hole. So he eagled 15. I mean, he had, I think they said today, or something like 30, 28 or 30 birdies or something like that, and two eagles over the week, something crazy. He shot like combined like 60 under or something like that the last 2 years, at Kapalua, something crazy. It's something
It's ridiculous.
Just ridiculous. The past 2 years. So guy, this is my thing. I want to go back to Colin really quick.
Okay.
So about the middle of the year last year, something happened and I can't figure out what it is. Something happened to him around the middle of the year last year.
He got married.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the marriage jinx. He got married last year, and all of a sudden he couldn't hit a fade anymore. He started drawing the ball.
Is that when? I mean, I want to know
he got married last year. I don't know if it was around the time he started going stupid over the ball or what, but they said it best today, where they said he could not quit hitting draws last year, and so then he was just like, well, then I'm just going to play a draw. And then it just went bad. Then he just couldn't hit a fairway. He couldn't hit a green, which is so unlike
him. That was November 26th, it says.
Oh, maybe he had a rough bachelor party middle of the year and just never bounced back from it. I don't know.
Yeah, from about May. April. From about April.
Yeah, he said it was in the Masters he got to where he could not hit a fade anymore. It was in the tournament.
That's crazy. That's crazy that's what it is. It happened, but he has really, really struggled like since then. It's kind of mind blowing because he's always been such a steady guy for his whole career.
I thought he was a decent putter. Apparently he was not. He just actually hit good iron shots that got him close enough. He usually lost anywhere from 1.5 to 2 strokes per round in putting. To this year, he is already picking up 2 to 2.5 strokes per round in putting, and he completely changed his putter grip. He changed his putter. He went to a TaylorMade and put one of the thicker grips on it, so he can basically, as they described it during one of the rounds of the tournament, he could put his palms to palms.
Like, yeah,
that's how he's putting, and not necessarily like that, but like something like that, some version of that.
It's got the V on the top, so you put your thumbs on the outside, but yep. it's got a V on the top, so you can't lock over. You got to lay it. Yeah, I've seen those. I bought a putter one time, and it came with that grip, and I got it off as fast as I could. I don't know how they do it, but yeah, he's going through some things right now, man. He is definitely fighting some demons, and
I was proud of him for his post-round interview. I didn't think he'd stay that long.
He's never, I mean, he never says the wrong thing. He's just so like unflappable.
He seemed way more depressed than I thought he would be, though.
Yeah, he was bummed. He was bummed on the tee box on 18.
Oh, yeah. As soon as he saw John Rahm make that birdie, he immediately dropped his head. Like,
you don't see that very often either. You don't see that very often where it's like a golfer shows like actual, like being like, I'm upset a little bit that he made that putt. They're normally pretty, you know, they stay in check. He was physically he was like, you could tell, dejected. It was it was tough. So I hope he gets it. I hope he gets it back, because
I think he will. I don't know that he lost it, though, because as he said in the post round interview, he said, essentially, what I take away from today, he said, I look back on, I had 3 really bad swings. He said, and the problem with that is it cost me a golf tournament. And he said, he said that's all he had today. That was his words, is he had 3 really bad swings. So I tend to disagree.
I mean, that maybe those swings cost him multiple strokes, like the flub chip cost him at least 2 shots. So I guess, you know.
And then the sand shot cost him two shots, essentially. He lost the lead. I mean, he bogeyed okay. there, whereas.
Okay, was, I'm back on board. So I can see it now.
Because even when he ended up in that bunker, you know, when the booth was saying that that's not where he wanted to be, that's where I say that he said that he had zero problem being in it. He told his caddy, he said, that's where our miss needs to be. We need to be short right. If we're in the bunker, fine. And so he hit it where he wanted to hit it. So when they said he didn't need to be there, it's like, well, he thought he needed to be there.
And how about this was something new this year that I've never that they were really proud of. I don't know how I feel about it.
I know exactly where you're going.
Know where I'm going? Yes. Drone cam.
Oh my gosh.
Chasing the ball like down
it
the hill.
It sounded like a bunch of old dudes that got a drone for Christmas and they were so proud to show it off.
The thing is, like, where is that? Where else is that going to like come into play? Like, where else is that? Where do you play that has massive elevation changes where the ball can roll 100 yards? Like,
no, because they even said even next week, like, this is going to be a tale of two extreme golf courses. The next week's course is nothing but flat.
Yeah.
So, do they put the drone out there and still do that to chase the ball or what? I mean, how loud is the drone? Can we not start hovering over the green while they're putting? Can we not do some stuff like that?
No, probably not. I mean, that's why it's out in the middle of the fairway. That's why it's out in the fairway, probably far enough where they can't.
Well, apparently some players must not be happy with it. I'd love to get a player's perspective on it because they, even though they talked about it a lot, they only used it on like four holes when it was that just run out. Time the ball. Jordan Spieth, he hit balls that ran for 43 seconds like every day. And they were real excited about that. They were so thrilled. I was like, okay, well, it's downhill and he hits it really high. And what do you expect it to do? It's going to roll out till it stops. It's called gravity. Thank you guys for showing us what that means.
Yep.
So who is they were really into that drone.
Is it Rolfing that is from Hawaii?
Yeah, he lives there. Yeah. That's his he helped design that course. He helped design.
Yeah, he's the only person that's ever lived in Hawaii. So he lets us know about it. gotta have him.
Oh, he dropped his boat name that he had in the harbor there. They showed that and I was like, that's a pretty big flex.
It's the John Rolfing show. The Century is the John Rolfing show, is what it is. He saves up all year. He gets all his little quips in. It's a John Rolfing show.
Yeah, and every time there was something, anytime there was an issue where a player left something, since he helped design the course, they're like, John, what's the play here? I'm like, you guys are all professional golfers and have played this course. You should know what the play is here. Like, you don't have to ask him. I know he designed it, but geez, I mean, every player's different. Like, we don't have to go to him for every shot.
You hit it out to the right and it's going to roll way down to the left. I mean, it's not that hard.
We've seen this enough. We know what it's going to do.
Yeah, the fairways are huge. Like, hit it the opposite side of the slope and let it roll. I mean, it's not that hard.
Not that hard.
We're going to, I'm going to give you an item that you would, if you were at Kapalua, you would really need this because of the elevation changes. And you would really need your Blue Tees rangefinder when you're out there because, number 18, I want to see it in person because it's like 660 yards or something like that, but they're hitting four irons in. So like you're hitting a 400 yard drive. There's no way. You got to know the slope. You got to know the slope to be able to know what to hit. I mean, you're 260 in. They're hitting four irons. So
take Colin, for instance. He's at the last hole today. They had him mic'd up or had a mic next to him. His caddy says 255. We're looking at 232. And I'm like, 232? Because when their camera's right there with them, it doesn't look. You can tell it's below him, but it doesn't look like it's taking 25 yards off your shot.
Exactly. But you would know that if you had your Blue Tees rangefinder because it's got slope and you can toggle it on and off. The magnet on the side, the buzz lock on the pin, everything you need like that you get in a high dollar rangefinder, you can get for a fraction of the price, and you can save. Use coupon DADBOD10. Let's take 10% off of your order. And you got Bluetooth speakers, all kinds of other stuff that you can add with it. So check it out, bluetees.com. It's where rangefinders start.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about fashion for a second. this could lead to a fight, but I saw something that I dug. It was talked about. It was talked about on Twitter. And JJ Spahn, which it isn't the most like household name, but
He won like the Valero Texas Open or something last year.
Yeah, yeah. So like just your run of the mill average, like journeyman type PGA guy. He had a button down short sleeve, very bowler shirt, like bowling league or like Hawaiian-y kind of button down. I'm sure it was a good breathable, stretchable material. Untucked. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I text Ben. I said, I'm digging JJ Spahn's gear. He just needed some joggers. If he had some joggers, that would have been one sick look. He's kind of a little bit dumpy, so he might not have been able to pull it off. But JJ, big thumbs up. I hope that becomes a thing. I hope the button down untuck becomes a thing. I know it's not going to happen at the Masters. I get it.
Yeah, I understand that. It's not probably not going to happen at the British Open.
But I like it. I don't know. What do you think?
Not on him.
No, what? I thought.
No, not on him. You know, Ricky Fowler has done this. He's got the figure to get to pull this off. Ricky does.
Untucking hides things, man.
I completely understand that. But them tree trunks and legs that he had coming out from him. Like that. And
he's got some booty meat.
That big donkey he had that the shirt was laying over, it didn't hide it, Bub. Let me just tell you that right now.
I'm just saying.
I don't mind the look. I like that look. I think somebody like a Jordan Spieth could pull that off. I think a JT would look good in something like that. Max Homa, I think those guys, those tall, slender guys, I think they could pull it off. I think they put it on the wrong dude.
I liked it. I've never noticed JJ Spahn in my life. But until this, so
he had a sweet beard. I'll give him that.
So let me ask you this:
okay,
can you untuck other things? Do you think you should untuck other things? Like if you're out
like
there,
a regular shirt,
yeah, like a Peter Millar FootJoy. What do you think about that? Or is it just this type of style?
No, because I've seen you get away with it, like untuck with shorts. Like you got the build for it. Jay, I'm just telling you, it's on the wrong dude. I would have been all in with you if it would have been somebody else besides him that was probably 45 pounds lighter than him and a little bit taller than him. I probably would have been all over it.
See, I'm crazy because I feel the complete opposite of that. I feel like skinny guys, you tuck it in. A little bit thicker guys, you let it breathe. You know, let it breathe. It'll hide. It may hide some things. It may not hide everything. But I don't know. I'm on line tonight trying to find.
I mean, if Harry Higgs can pull it off. See, that's the thing. Is that Ricky not being in the tournament? It's Puma.
Harry can't pull anything off.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
He
is
barely
Harry's gonna
put
have
stuff
it,
on.
He's gonna have it unbuttoned or right here.
Yeah.
That I'm all about. A guy that goes out and wears that untucked and unbuttoned all the way down his belly button and goes out there and shoots 7 under, I'm all for it.
I don't know how I feel about that. Harry Higgs has got work to do. There's not a lot you can do there.
It's
a tough canvas.
And the bad part is he knows it too. Like they've asked him about it, about the way he unbuttons his shirts, and he's like, look, I don't have any shirts that fit me right. So we're just going to go out there and be as comfortable as possible. And then whatever shows up, shows up. So
he went back to the Corn Ferry. He had to drop down to the Corn Ferry playoffs last year and he got his card back. So,
yep. I will say this. I'm kind of on the fence with it. I'm not going to argue with you and tell you that's a bad look. I will tell you that all the old dudes that are listening to this podcast are probably going to be completely against what you just said about wearing the untucked.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I don't.
No, I'll suck it.
I don't have a problem with it. I just think it needs to be on the right player.
Okay.
And I just don't know that he could. I mean, I told you, between him and Brian Harman, can we not find somebody that can hem their pants? Like, what's going on with this, man? That whole gathering at the bottom, like bunched up, or it looks like they could be
Brian Harman got all his pants from Tiger Woods. I swear to God. Yeah. And he didn't have them tailored at all.
No, they're he got hand-me-downs and was like, look, I'm wearing Tiger's pants.
They're baggy and they're long. I don't get it, man. Come on.
I don't either.
But it's not worse. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth. It's not as worse as the pants that Patrick Cantlay
Oh my gosh.
Used to wear, but
the granddad pants.
He was a free agent, it seemed like, this week.
Yeah, he was.
Ben brought this to my attention. I did not notice it, but he's a free agent. He's trying all kind of stuff out. He's no longer Hugo Boss. I don't guess he's a titleist guy right now or whatever he was.
He had a titleist driver one day. I don't know what the other driver was. I think it was like a – I think it may have been a Callaway. Apparently, he mixed his drivers up. He's got a mixed bag of irons. The best part was I told Kyle, he's not a Hugo Boss guy anymore. He and Aaron Baddeley and I think one other player are the only Hugo Boss
Stinson?
Guys on tour. Is Stinson still a Hugo Boss guy?
I don't know.
Adidas and so,
or something like that.
Cantlay always wore what I call granddad pants. They were not flattering at all for him. Like, no. He looked so much cooler in his social media posts when he's in like shorts and a Hawaiian shirt than he ever looked on a golf course. On a golf course, I don't know why they couldn't find stuff that fit him right, but his body and whatever Hugo Boss caters to do not match up. So I'm glad he dumped them. Maybe they dumped him. I don't know. As I said, they're the only three people in the world I know that actually wear that stuff. So maybe they went out of business. Who knows? So I'm curious to see who picks him up. He can't be picked up by like JT's apparel guy because he doesn't have that build, that skinny,
no,
you know, wear the
he's
tight
not a
shirt
Grayson
build.
Guy.
So he doesn't come across as being like a Puma guy. So I don't know if he'll, you know, I think a lot of it's got to do with the clubs. If he ends up going those tailor-made irons, I mean, then he's going to be stuck wearing Adidas stuff.
He's going to be like Columbia or something. Nobody's going to want sponsor.
Unless it's like an apparel deal, like Adidas or something that's tied in with like a club.
Yeah.
That's the only way he probably gets an apparel sponsor that we probably could buy and wear. Other than that, I mean, he's not wearing like Ralph Lauren, like Billy Horschel. He doesn't have that build either.
No.
It's going to have to be something, like you said, it's going to have to be like a Columbia.
No, you know who he should get, and they would make him look good. That's Swanee.
Swanee. No doubt.
Swanee should reach out to Patrick Cantlay, get him locked down, because everything they have works. It works. And a cool thing, Swanee's is in this local golf shop in the town we live in. So yep. I'm getting to see more of the shirts in person, and man, the array of items they have is just incredible. Pullovers, polos, everything, hats, like crazy amounts of hats, and they're all great. Ben's got the Golf Is Easy hat on right now. Love those guys. I got my like three or four hoodies from them already. They're yep. my favorite pieces that I have in my closet, right? Especially right now. Log on today, use coupon code DadBodGolfPod -25 and save big on every single order that you ever have. So yep. go fill up the cart, save big after Christmas, use your Visa gift cards and all that garbage you got for Christmas. go over to Swanee's, cash it in, get you some swag. So Swanee's.com, life's a party, dress for it. FORE.
By the way, speaking of Christmas gifts, you get anything that just sucked?
I don't know. I'm not really. I mean, I got my big purchase. I wanted a pellet grill. So just got a lot of people just gave me money and stuff to go along with it. So
I got you.
So it's assembled and ready to go. So, one of our New Year's resolutions, we are going to end every show of 2023 with a would you rather. So
yep.
We are going to end it with a bang, every single one. So you got something to look forward to every single episode. Hey, would you rather? Ben, are you ready for the first one of 2023?
I am. I'm ready.
Okay. All right, here we go.
I'm going to write this down while you're reading.
All right. You got a drive, an approach, a chip, and a putt. You can pick one pro to hit all of one of those for you for I guess, the rest of your life, whatever. I don't care.
Okay.
Time frame doesn't matter. Who do you pick, or what shot do you pick, and who do you pick to hit it? Drive, approach, chip, putt. What pro do you want to hit it? Well, what shot do you want a pro to hit, and which pro do you want to hit it? I'll let you go first, Ben.
Well, this one wasn't. This is an easy one for me, and this is probably recency bias.
Okay.
So Kyle and I played last week. I also played with another buddy of ours, Bobby, before that. I want to play with Bobby. I sent Kyle the statistics, and which I usually don't keep up with, but I kept the card just because I knew I was frustrated. And I hit 13 fairways, and I hit four greens.
Sounds about right.
So, and then I played with Kyle, and I think I hit 11 or 12 fairways, and I hit three greens. So I got to find a pro to hit an approach shot for me so I don't have to try to get up and down on every friggin' hole. Because that seems to be what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times where the one of the greens that I hit when I was playing with you, I actually it was a missed fairway and I still hit the green. So like I'm still not hitting the green from the fairway. So recency bias has me taking the approach shot, and I know that this is not going to be going over well since he just blew it, but I don't think he blew it from his approach shots. I'm going to take Colin Morikawa.
Mm. Right now?
Yep. I love his irons. I'm telling you.
They don't love him right now. They do not love him.
His wedges don't love him. Trust me, he ain't going to be on greenside bunkers off the tee when I'm the one hitting the tee ball. He's going to be out there about 150 out, and I need that 150 shot that's going to put me up near the green.
That was a pretty sad four iron going into 18. He had to hole it to win.
That was a pretty bad four iron. Yeah.
Nah. I mean, in general, I get it.
It would. I mean, if I had to take my one guy, I'd have to go back in time, and I'd take Tiger in early 2000s. He just didn't miss greens.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say that now, but if I had to just – if you took a era out, I'd say – oh, approach shot Tiger Woods, early 2000s. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Putter. Yeah, exactly.
So that would be, but, you know, a player from today that I would take, I mean, you know, he still, even though he blew a 7-shot lead, it was because of missed putts and basically three holes at the end of the day that got him. Other than that,
how much fun would it be, Ben?
For 69 holes, he did just fine.
It would be a lot of fun because you just don't miss fairways to just slap one out there and then grab your putter.
Yeah.
That would slap be so one out much there, fun. Grab your putter, and then go whatever.
Because my putting's okay. I mean, it's not great. It's not tour quality great, but my putting's okay. I definitely feel a hell of a lot better with a putter in my hand than I do with a wedge in my hand.
There you go. I'm with you.
So, yeah, that approach shot's just killed me as of late.
There you go. Okay. So you're going to think I'm crazy for this, but it's because I've charted this forever, and this is where all my strokes go, and it's off the tee. I've got to be able to be in play. Like, I want to be in play. As fun as it is to hit driver, and I can hit it a good way. I can, you know, I can pump it out there. But I'm just so erratic. Like that's what keeps me from, like, for example, I played the my first round of the year, 5 birdies, shot 78. Cause I hit 2 or 3 out of bounds, you know, 5 bird. Like, I mean, that's the most I had at one point. I had 3 in a row, almost had another hole in one, like left it on the lip almost but I can't get off the tee box. I can't get off the tee box. It's like, it's maddening. So I would take Rory McIlroy hitting all my drives, and I think I would be a pretty, pretty, pretty good player. I like my irons. I like where my irons are. I like where my wedges, chipping, putting. The only thing that I struggle with is getting off the daggum tee box and keeping it advanceable. Let's just say that, advanceable, not. You know, I don't mind missing a fairway as long as it's advanceable towards the green, not having to kick out or under a tree or whatever. It's just, it's.
Oh, yeah. When you and I played the other day, I mean, they're just holes that are like really gettable holes for somebody like Kyle because he hits it a long way. They're not gettable for me. I mean, even on holes like that, on par fives, it's going to be a 3-shot hole. Even though I can control the driver, I probably shouldn't hit the driver. I should probably hit the 3-wood because the driver, I don't hit it far enough to clear bunkers and trash. So I need to be hitting the 3-wood so I come up short of bunkers and trash because I can also hit it in the middle of the fairway. Whereas Kyle, he's got a chance to take a huge advantage over all of us. And he did on one of the par fives. One of the par fives on the front. Oh, did you do it?
I hit two. Yeah, I hit number 12. 12 I hit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Number
where we got
seven.
Bloody Marys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Number seven and number 12, I mean, he literally had a 9-iron in on seven. And it was a huge 9-iron because he's a little jacked up from his tee ball. And then I don't know what you had in on 12.
8 or 9 iron.
8 or 9 iron.
But it's downhill par five, hit a bomb. You know,
and I'm hitting those same holes. Yes, I'm middle of the fairway too, but I'm hitting 5-wood, 4-iron into those greens.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just a different ball game. So, yeah, I
get it. But you know what I did? You know what I did on both of those holes?
But you can't do that on every
– yeah.
You don't do that every hole.
On both of those holes, I birdied. Easy birdies.
You did, yeah.
Easy birdies. So, imagine if I just had Rory do that for me every time off the tee. That would be spectacular. Rory's best – one of his best clubs is his driver. He's long. He's accurate. He can hit it both ways. I'm taking Rory, hit every single drive for the rest of my life. Now, that would be – think about this. That would kind of take a lot of fun out of golf, though, if you really think about it.
Not the way I've been playing as of late.
Hitting the ball off the tee box is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot – it's one of the funnest shots. But, I mean, it's my bugaboo. I cannot hit – I cannot consistently get off the tee box. And I'm just going to have to – I want to learn to hit like a – I want to learn to hit one of those like burning stingers, like with a driving iron. I think that would be a go-to, something, a good go-to shot that I could hit. They could run forever and not get me in trouble. So that's going to be my goal for this year. Let's figure out how to hit a stinger.
You need a 270 fairway finder.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what you need. You need
my 3-wood. My 3-wood's just as erratic as my driver. So it's just as erratic.
So. Yes, it's not like he can take that and hit it 265, 270 out there. That doesn't. No. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need a 270 fairway finder.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere. I mean, anything north of 250 that I just something I could keep in play. So anyway, that's what I'll do. So great show. Great recap. We'll be back on Wednesday. Going to talk a little, stuff that's popped up that we've said we need to talk about. Maybe talk about, some Masters invite faux pas from, which never happens, from Augusta. You know, we'll just see. We'll see how it goes. And get ready for the next tournament in Hawaii coming up this weekend. So y'all have a great kickoff to your week. And we will catch you back on Wednesday. It's episode 254 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod, and we are always
stroking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod, always stroking.